from your home for One Down, 162 to go, live from Studio A. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
Guy.
We're live.
We're doing this live. So let's...
All the stars aligned, right? And everything else.
Turns out I like Fridays for this. This is the highlight of my Friday. This is absolutely my favorite sports show for the week.
Yeah, is it though? It
absolutely is, yeah. Yeah, Guy. The sun is shining. The coffee is good. There's no snow, right?
Well...
I'm not counting that pile of snow over there in that parking lot. That'll be gone by the afternoon.
Monday.
That'll
be gone by Monday.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had some sports happening this week.
Did we?
We did. First, I want to talk about real quick.
Yeah.
I was all excited on last week's show to talk about the Wisconsin Badgers basketball
team. You were so optimistic.
I spent a solid 15 minutes breaking down.
Yep.
Possible Sweet 16 matchups. I broke down how they were going to beat. They were going to beat High Point University. They did not. Immediately after we talked, they lost in the opening round of our tournament. They were the biggest upset, I'd say, of the first round.
Yep.
12-5, as predicted, unfortunately.
Yep.
Super disappointed to watch my Wisconsin Badgers. I guess our Wisconsin Badgers.
Your Badgers, not mine.
My Badgers.
Yeah.
The not be able to get out of the first round again by getting beat by a 12 seed again.
And it was the one. Remember what you said last week?
Yeah.
That of the four matchups of the 12 and fives, you're most worried about Wisconsin.
100%.
And you should have been.
And it went down exactly like that. Wisconsin was up by 8 or 9 points with, you know, under 5 to go. I feel like I got to take responsibility for it because I stopped watching.
It's like me taking the blade off my tractor and I'm not doing it.
Exactly. Good move. No, yeah. 100%. I've still got the shovels out just in case. That I did not cover my bases with the Badgers, so apologize to Badger Nation out there for my excitement. Yeah. I guess along those same lines, the Brewers won yesterday. Their opening day, they won.
So I'm going to bring up that.
They won 14-2.
Yeah,
against the Chicago White Sox, which isn't the White Sox aren't good, haven't been good for a long, 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 long time. But 162 games, you got to win the first one to win them all. So they look great. 14-2.
You're tied with the lead with Cardinals.
Yeah, you know, tied for...
Because the Cardinals actually won.
They are in first. Brewers are in first place in the division after exactly one game.
Oddly enough, the Dodgers won
in
the West.
Sure.
But nobody else did in that side.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of Dodgers in first place talk for most of this year. I got a good feeling. Brewers, during this 14-2 slobber knocker, their opening day starter was Jacob Mizorowski, who was last year's All-Star representative after getting 5 starts, made an All-Star team. He pitched 5 innings. He struck out 11. He gave up a leadoff home run opening game, you know, opening pitch, opening batter for the White Sox, hit a home run off of him, and then he settled right in, pitched 5 innings. I think he got to like 95 pitches, struck out 11. Throughout the next 4 innings, the Brewers struck out 9 more batters for the White Sox, tying a major league record for most strikeouts in a single game. There's like 9 other teams that have tied for that in history of baseball, but man, what a nice statement. I'm sure you don't remember all that well, but I do. Last year's opening series against the Yankees, the Brewers lost 20-3 in the opener. They gave up like 55 runs in 3 games, scored 6. The Yankees, if you remember, busted out the torpedo bats. They had the fancy odd-shaped bats,
hit a whole bunch of home runs.
And it was kind of doom and gloom. Oh, no, what are we going to do as a Brewers? They were fine. So, yeah, super, super, super exciting to have that kicking off. I was able to listen on the radio. It's just really great reminder of it officially feels like spring for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time.
Feeling like it.
You know, the weather does it for me. The kickoff of the Brewers radio network that you hear. Kind of a struggle to watch them this year, so best of luck to you It's expensive to go through MLB because the Brewers are one of about five teams in the majors that don't have a network.
Sure.
So you got to pay a premium this year to watch all your Brewers games. I will not be.
I thought it was on ESPN2 now this year.
No.
No, I'm sorry.
No. It went from going on FanDuel or Bally Sports to this, that, or the other to now you got to go direct through MLB, and it's legit not cheap. It's kind of not. It's my least favorite thing about baseball, honestly. It should be so popular. It should be on the listening to AM radio, watching your favorite team should just sort of be simple.
Sure.
They've of course made it not simple. They've made it easier, but not simple. That's starting out. I am going to talk about. I got three big questions for the Milwaukee Brewers this year.
Okay. Go for it.
One of them is originally I had written down starter depth.
Okay.
But that's not going to be a problem. I bet the Brewers are going to start 10 starting pitchers this year, and I don't think it's a problem. The depth they have in AAA, I'm not going to list the 10 stop the top of the line, but I'm real sure you're going to see about 10 different starting pitchers for the Brewers this year. I bet not one pitcher pitches 150 innings this year. It used to be about 200 innings. Used to be sort of the standard for a top line pitcher.
Okay.
I don't think the Brewers have that guy in their rotation. They're either young or inexperienced or often injured. But I so that's not a problem for me. My number one is Joey Ortiz. Joey Ortiz is representing Mexico in the World Baseball Classic. He had a really good spring training. Joey Ortiz was the starting shortstop they picked up in the Corbin Burns trade a couple years ago. He hit 200. I think he almost cleared 200 as a hitter last year. Was statistically the worst full-time hitter in all of baseball.
Oh, good.
You're right. And that's the remarkable thing about that is it wasn't on a team that lost 90 to 100 games. This was on a team that won 90-some games. So Jory Ortiz must do something correct, runs the bases or plays defense. But you can't have in your lineup a guy hitting 208. You just can't. I'd like to see him get even below average, 230, 225. I think he's a real important piece on a team that lost some bench pieces, some lower lineup guys with Isaac Collins and Caleb Durbin. They lost some of that. You need a guy in that. If he can hit 230, he is going to the Brewers have a real good shot at winning 90 plus games this year. He's my number one most important player for a comeback this year. Somebody to watch. Willem Contreras. He's their all-star catcher.
Okay.
Finished fifth in the MVP race last year.
Okay.
Played with a broken hand all year. Couldn't grip a baseball to throw it. Couldn't really grip a bat to hit it. Still hit 255. Didn't miss a lot of games. He has, if the Brewers do what they did last year, which is win 95, franchise record, if they're to approach that anywhere near, Willem Contreras is going to have an MVP caliber season again. He's also in his, he's got two more years under contract for the Brewers, which in Brewers fashion probably means a guy like him is traded next year. So this is really his big shot. This is his time to cash in, his time to make a mark. I really think, and he's got the pedigree to do it, I think Willem Contreras has himself a top five MVP season for the Brewers. And again, these are all things as an optimist that tells me that's how the Brewers are going to win 95 games. The other one for me is who's playing third base. They've got prospects in the minors, Jet Williams they traded for, and David Hamilton they also traded for, kind of like a quadruple A, not a major league guy, but somebody. The Brewers have a tendency to find those somebodies and turn them into something useful. That who plays third, again, in a lineup that is based on defense and speed and pitching, you need some at least average hitters. So I think those three spots on their roster, to me, if those guys have down years, the Brewers might win. The projections for the Brewers are 80 to 85 wins this year, an extreme jump down from where they were last year. I'm not going to believe that because the Brewers every single year for the last decade. They've won 90 games. They've been right there in the hunt. So sure. I don't have real
questions. You have expectations of them, at least now, this year, winning one series.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the baseline has been set. Yes. Beating the Cubs last year in the playoffs was my World Series because I was reasonably sure they were not going to beat the Dodgers in the next series.
Yeah, you were right.
And as could be predicted, I was right. Yeah. So this is, I said, they're building something. They have the structure in place to continue to every single year win, 90 games. It's a long season. Like I said, we're on game two today against the White Sox, but I'm gonna keep banging the drum for, hey, we're a playoff team. Hey, we're great until proven otherwise. I have.
Yes.
My favorite brewer.
Okay.
I was kind of mulling this through. And
of all time?
My favorite brewer of all time is Prince Fielder.
Okay.
There's not much else I can say other than Prince Fielder was awesome. He hit a lot of home runs. His dad was Cecil Fielder, who was in the majors. Prince Fielder was 6 foot, 260, and just did nothing but hit homers for me. No, I'm going to talk about my favorite current brewer.
Okay.
My favorite current brewer is Abner Uribe, which is a sort of rando, a not as well known as any of their all-stars. He is a 20, now I think he's 23, 24 years old relief pitcher. Real lanky, throws just, he's all arms and legs when he throws. It's really fun to watch him throw. He usually comes in 7th inning, 8th inning. He's a guy last year who had an ERA under 2. He made 50 to 60 appearances, but they're mostly in the 7th and 8th inning. Trevor McGill was their closer all year. But I think Abner Uribe is going to be a guy who could be an all-star. I think if he continues to do well and if there's any sort of injuries or problems in the back of that bullpen, I think Abner Uribe could go from some guy to being an all-star this year. He's super fun to watch. I'm going to give updates every single week as far as the here's how he's doing, here's how my favorite brewer is doing now. So Abner Uribe is going to be my pick for player to watch all year.
Nice.
Along those lines.
No.
You're not getting, you've decided to opt out on this
one? I will.
One?
I'm gonna pick, because, I mean.
As a Minnesota alum, you lived in Minnesota.
Yes.
From Minnesota.
Yes.
Follow much closer, I would say, Minnesota sports teams than most Wisconsin sports teams.
More football than anything else.
Yeah. I'm going to ask of you, a big ask, can you name your favorite twin, not of all time. I know it's Kirby Puckett. That's everybody's favorite twin of all time.
Because he's great.
Because he's the greatest. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I support that too. There's, Do you have somebody on this roster?
So I've been looking. I don't follow baseball much anymore.
Sure, yeah.
At one point I did.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we were winning at one point.
That helps. Yeah. Boy, that's been a minute, but okay.
Byron Buxton. Everybody knows him.
Former top two, top three pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Took a little bit of time to get to Minnesota, had injuries, but is absolutely the most talented player on that roster.
So the other name I'm kind of familiar with was Royce Lewis.
Royce Lewis. Infielder?
Let me double check.
Again, another former high-up Minnesota draft pick.
He's been with Minnesota since 2022.
Okay.
I mean, he averages his career. Let's see here. Where am I looking at it? From 2022, he's had 46 total home runs.
Okay.
13 last year. I mean, he's nothing, but he's.
Pick a guy and roll with him. You never know, right?
Yeah, you know.
He could end up in AAA at some
third
point.
Third baseman. Third base.
Okay, third baseman. Yeah. Okay, all right.
So there you go.
And the Twins, I don't think have super high expectations for the year.
New ownership and new manager. Yes.
Yes. I'm a huge Brewers fan. I'm not a huge Twins fan. I've been to their stadium.
I've not been to that stadium.
Stadium's cool. I would say their stadium, how it's set up, how it's organized, how you get in and out of there, is better designed than Milwaukee.
Right.
Milwaukee is nice and conveniently located on the interstate, easy to get on and off. But it doesn't do much as an aesthetic. It kind of feels just like a. It's just like a garage.
Right, right.
The Twins Stadium, it's cool. It's right downtown. The trolleys and
used to share it.
Public transit, yeah.
Metrodome with the Vikings. So yes. Now they got their own.
I believe it's the same footprint, give or take, from where they put the Metrodome, is it? I think.
No.
No? Different locale?
I think so.
But I would strongly recommend you, even if you're not a huge baseball fan, getting out to some live baseball is good times, you know? And I say this every year about this time.
I'd rather save my money for Vikings tickets.
Well, yeah. Well, I was going to say, if you want to go super cheap, and you do, just go down to random, like, go down to Coon Valley and watch when they put on the Legion games down there. It's such a cool environment. Yeah. It's really friendly, really. It feels like an old school. You start to get the feel of why baseball is called America's pastime.
I guess.
Not just because it's old, but because it feels familiar. It's a really good collective, and it's there's a pace to a baseball game that allows you to sit and talk to your friends while it's going
See,
on.
See, that's the pace is what I don't really particularly like. Sure. I can't sit there for 9 innings. And
you need a little more juice.
Well, that's why I like football. It's violent.
They break it up into nice sections,
You get offense, defense, special teams.
And the occasional flag thrown, and, you know, touchdown dances are cool. No, I'm with you.
You know?
I like the pace of a nice baseball night.
And or I will watch NBA playoffs.
Sure, which is coming up, too.
Yes,
next week, we will start talking. The Bucks aren't in the playoffs, so it's not exciting. Although at least it means that
Timberwolves will be.
Timberwolves are fun. We'll get on that. I'm going to just jump onto that bandwagon.
I know you
instead.
Do. Did that last couple of years.
That's a good
too.
Bandwagon to get onto. Anthony Edwards is great. Julius Randle. I watched a Timberwolves game a couple days ago.
Yep.
Man, I like watching Julius Randle. He's a dude.
He is
a dude that just.
Yep.
We will talk more baseball playoffs. Nice thing about about the Bucks. Not being in the playoffs is we don't have to talk about how Doc Rivers ruined the season. The season has been ruined.
You think
he'll stay? God, man. Why are we doing that live? I don't want to have
that emotion. I mean, do you think Doc will want to stay if he doesn't have Giannis next year?
I don't think.
We could put gold star on that and talk about it later.
Absolutely.
But I think my
hope is that Doc Rivers goes. My hope is that Giannis gets traded. My hope is that the Bucks that I've been watching since I was very small, just reset. They won their championship. I've seen them be terrible and get a number one pick. I've seen them be great and win a championship.
They can't put the pieces around Giannis to make it happen again.
Correct. Yes, that's absolutely.
Because
you cannot recreate it.
Yeah, because between all the deals they've made and Dame Lillard deal that they're still paying for.
They're paying for Dame Lillard and they're paying for Miles Turner. And they're only getting production out of one guy. Miles Turner's not playing well. No, it's a fire. It's not a dumpster fire. It's not a danger.
It's not a full on rebuild. I think it's just retooling. I think they have a few pieces there.
I mean, as soon as you trade your best player,
it's
a rebuild, and you should embrace that rebuild because in the NBA at least, it's not a guarantee in a lot of other sports, but in the NBA. Tanking generally leads to, or being bad generally leads within to being good again because you are able to draft talent at the top of the draft that is just not available in other
sports. That's why the Bucks organization wanted Giannis to sit, and Giannis did not want to sit.
Correct.
So there's a miscommunication there already. So it's going to be drama in the offseason.
Yep, which, I mean, like I said, the drama can be easily solved by just firing your coach and trading your guy. And then as a fan base, you just sort of reset. You just say, okay, here's where we're at. Let's look at the pieces. Let's figure out, because there's a lot of people, like I was talking to somebody at work who's a huge Warriors fan, but turns out he's just a huge Steph Curry fan. Because when Steph Curry doesn't play, now that Steph Curry's getting towards the end, he doesn't not all that interested.
Sure.
And the Bucks are sort of like that too. I need to see. Am I a Bucks fan or do I just like Giannis?
And it's going to be tough if Giannis gets traded or goes away because they're going to put a statue in Pfizer for him.
Absolutely. He brought a championship.
And they'll probably invite him back to have an active part in that organization.
100%.
So if I was the Bucks, I'd be really going, okay, where do you want to go, Giannis, and what can we do to make it help?
The Bucks don't have very frequently a franchise player.
Right.
In my basketball lifetime, they had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Was he during your time, though?
He was during a time. I am not of the 70s, but Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was there. Perhaps the greatest center of all time.
Sure.
He did not want to be in Milwaukee.
Yep.
So he was gone. Oscar Robertson, same thing. Oscar Robertson, one of the greatest players of all time. in and out of Milwaukee, gone.
The fact that Giannis has been there, what, 13 years?
He's been there now 13 years.
He loves Milwaukee. He's probably roots. Really, I mean, he's like, he really likes it.
He watched his little brothers go to high school there. Yep. He's watched his kids now go to elementary school there. There's a lot that happens in a 13-year span between 19 years old and 33 years old. He's gone through all of it in that city, and he cares about... He appreciates, you know, he says he appreciates what the organization did in bringing his entire family over here when he was drafted and making him feel like you're part of, and he wants to pay that back. And I understand and I respect that and I appreciate that as a fan, but also I want to win games.
Yeah. And I think he wants to win more championships too. So, okay.
So that'll be, again, it's playoffs.
Are we done with the NCAA? Do you have any favorites coming through there? Do you not care now at this point?
We're at the Sweet 16. Sweet 16 started yesterday. Thursday, we had Purdue beating Texas. We're down to 16. We're in the Sweet 16. We'll be down to 8 by the end of today. Last night, Purdue beat Texas. Iowa beat Nebraska. Arizona beat Arkansas. And Illinois beat Houston. I'm fairly certain we got games today.
I'm sure.
So Purdue beat, these were pretty good games.
Yeah.
Illinois, Iowa, and Purdue, three representatives out of the Big Ten, feels pretty good.
Yep.
That is right. There's probably going to be some more tonight. Big Ten's a great conference. You can see why a team like Wisconsin would finish seventh in the Big Ten and still have a legit shot. No, Iowa.
What's your favorite out of the whole thing?
Arizona.
Yeah.
Arizona has talent and depth. They have McDonald's All-Americans just like all of these people do. Like Purdue's got seniors, guys who've been there 5 and 6 years. Iowa's got a ton of depth, but Arizona's my team.
Okay.
Arizona has McDonald's All-Americans.
I think that Duke St. John's.
Okay.
Whoever wins that, I think may come out of it in the finals.
That's your guy. I'm an anti-Duke.
Well, I don't honestly. Don't get me wrong.
Duke University is hard for me to root for.
Right. I mean, I'll always take the underdog against Duke. So,
but the couple of players on Duke, it is not surprising that they would be where they are. Cameron Boozer is a freshman. His dad played in the NBA. His twin brother plays for Duke. He's a first team All-American. He's never lost. Like they were talking about his record in high school and he's just a winner.
Or there's UConn.
And again, UConn is one of those, they've got the experience too. But I guess if I was going to go off I like what Arizona has in depth. I like their coaching. I like their style. You're going to, by the time we run into each other again, we're going to be, I believe, down to Final Four. We're going to be down to championships Yeah, we'll have the games, they take forever, right? Like, there's going to be games Thursday, Friday, and then we swing back around to, like, Monday, Tuesday, or Saturday.
Schedule is on that one.
Schedule gets a little bit wonky here. We've got about 5 good minutes?
6.5.
6.5. Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, more time.
We got more time. I want to talk about something that's happening in baseball. In case any of us are listening to baseball, because admittedly, like I said, it's hard to watch our Brewers or the Cubs even on TV. So what you're gonna be listening on the radio more than likely. Baseball on the radio for some reason just feels right. It's just a good time. But there's something new in baseball, as there is in the automatic balls and strikes that they are calling the automated strike zone that they have instituted.
Okay.
They did it last year in the minors. Seemed successful. They're now instituting it in the majors this year.
Okay.
It's an effort to hold umpires accountable for their strike zone.
Sure.
Right? Like, because now, as a fan, the technology is so good that I can see the ball. I can see that it was a strike. I can see that it was a ball on TV. They will show a replay that showed the umpire missed this one. They'll show you by how much the umpire missed this one.
Okay.
The technology has gotten so good that there are people in the stands before they instituted this that could tell you they were calling out the umpire's mistakes in real time. And it was really it makes the trust of the fans go away because you know they're right. The umpires know they were wrong, but nobody was saying, hey, let's fix this.
Sure.
So now you have the rules go like this. You have challenges. The batter, the catcher, or the pitcher, after a pitch has been thrown, can announce by tapping their head that that call was missed. That triggers, and it is not done with the help of the umpire, your coaches. There's no one in the stands. It's not like a replay official in the NFL.
Sure.
There's a replay guy your team who will say to the coach, hey, challenge that. That was he was on the line. Or that was, that was a penalty. And then they replay it, and they look at it, and the umpires get together.
Yep.
In baseball, it is not that. It is done by the catcher, the pitcher, or the hitter. If the hitter knows that was a ball, he can challenge. And they go to the umpires.
Okay.
They go over, and there is in front of home plate. Home plate is 17 inches wide.
Right.
There is a monitor. It is showing. It is 50. It's interesting because it takes the player's height because the players have from your shoulders to your hips is essentially your strike zone. So it takes each player and it has a movable strike zone that they can see comparative to where it crosses the plate. And they can see if any part of the ball or the sensor is triggered by that ball, it is a strike. Any part of it. It is exact. If you've ever seen tennis, they've got that replay for tennis where they will show that ball that just same exact down to the margins, down to the quarter of a centimeter of an inch, if any of it touches in that strike zone. So it's done a couple things. It's slowed the game down a touch. You only get two of them. If you get one right, you don't lose your challenge. If you get it wrong, you lose that challenge.
Okay.
You get an extra one in extra innings. But it really puts...
So you get two for the game, pretty much.
Two for the game.
Okay.
It really puts an emphasis on... Because before, catcher's jobs was to try to frame the ball to get balls and strikes.
Yep.
It is now their job to know that strike zone down to the centimeter.
Wow.
It is not anymore... I mean, the umpires still need to call balls and strikes.
Right.
They still need to be correct. But it really puts it on the catcher.
So they're not using this to make every pitch call.
Correct. No.
They're just using it as an instant replay.
As a challenge. Because there's a lot of high stress situations in baseball. There's a lot that aren't, right? Like, they're not trying to get every single ball.
Like if it's the last pitch of the ninth inning of the seventh game of the World Series.
Big. It matters, man.
It matters. Yeah,
but
sure.
Baseball has an average of 155 pitches per game.
Okay.
That was what they showed last year. On average, they said that the calls get correct 93% of the time.
I mean, it's still pretty good.
Which is pretty good. If anybody's watched how fast they throw
it. It's a human game. I mean,
it's a human game. And like I said, this strike zone adjusts as a batter stands up taller or crouches down lower.
Sure.
It all matters. So it was becoming harder for an umpire to get it right every single time. What it's also going to do is these umpires are now getting reviewed, right? Like there's now a database collected on all of the spots that you've missed. They'll be able to show blind spots to these umpires and say you always miss in the top left corner or whatever.
Minute 30.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, good job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So it's to me, it's going to be an interesting kind of new layer to, because some of these hitters have incredible eyes. They know it was a ball. They're breaking bats over their knees because they know it was a ball. Now's their chance.
Sure.
To get it right.
But they got to get it. They could challenge it only twice.
Correct. Which in the preseason, there was a lot. There was a real division. There were some catchers who were like 10 for 10 on these replays. They just knew.
Yeah, well, the catcher would know. I mean, that's...
There was other catchers who were 0 for 9.
Oh.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Like, not a good catcher.
A huge... Exactly. It's defining kind of differently what a catcher is responsible for, what you're paying attention to as a batter. So that's going to be an interesting sort of wrinkle. I think it helps... I think it helps the game. It doesn't slow it down, and the emphasis is trying to get it right.
Sure.
So, what else happened?
Not much, but you got 30 seconds.
Just want to wrap up real quick. Youth wrestling season ended. My son's in youth wrestling. Again, every season I say this, Thank you to all of the volunteers who make youth sports happen. Thank you to all of the coaches, all the people who participate. Man, it's hard to get all these kids together and learning, and I appreciate everything they do, because if they don't do these things for the kids, we're not going to be into sports as adults. So thank you very much. Everybody, have a great weekend. Bye now.